right, welcome back to the Hall Pass Podcast. This is our season 2, episode 8. If you missed any of our episodes, you can find it on iTunes or www.thehallpasspodcast.com. Again, we would love for you to send us an email of general topics and questions you might want us to cover in our podcast at
thehallpasspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, well done. So today we were actually going to talk about how to motivate yourself and motivational strategies that we had for our students. But we actually have a surprise special guest. Her name is Dorothy Kang. She was one of our former students and my personal favorite student.
Wow. Are we not supposed to pick favorites, Jen?
I know, but I just can't help it. And she just finished her first year at Stanford. So today we're just going to kind of delve into her experiences at Stanford, and maybe if your dream school is Stanford, Dorothy will give you a little bit of insider knowledge of what it's like at Stanford, and you know how if Stanford should be a school that you want to apply to. So welcome back to all of my boys. All of my boys are here today.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hello.
And welcome to Dorothy. So Dorothy, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. Hi, my name is Dorothy Kang. I'm from Claremont, California. I went to Claremont High School for all 4 years, and I just finished my first year at Stanford. Went in as an IR major, actually, and now I'm thinking about doing biomechanical engineering, and I'll talk a little bit more about that transition later. But
IR is international relations.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I had a wonderful year at Stanford, and also I had a great high school experience, and I'm so glad to be here because Admission Masters is just such a big part of my whole journey up to this point.
We didn't pay her to say that.
We did not pay her to say that.
And we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dorothy, for taking the time. I know this is obviously, you know, your summer break, but you came here to give us some insight about Stanford. So we're really appreciative of you coming here. And yeah, that switch from humanities to STEM, very, very interested to kind of talk about. So maybe we can kind of give the listeners, Dorothy, a little bit more about your background and, you know, how Stanford came about into your life. So maybe you can tell us what you did in high school, some of the activities and things that you did, and also, you know, how Stanford became the school, your dream school.
Okay. So the main activity that I did in high school was something called at my school called Wolfcast, and it was a broadcast media class that I started as my freshman year just as like a reporter, and then by my senior year I was the director of that class. So it was a huge leadership role that I had throughout high school, and I was leading an entire class, and it was so much fun because we were creating a daily news show that the whole school was watching. And through that, I learned how to video edit, film, also just a bunch of leadership skills to like teaching kids and seeing them grow over a year. Mm-hmm. Besides that, I also did piano since I was 6, and piano was just such a huge part of my life, practicing for many hours and going to competitions throughout the year. I was also part of the tennis team at my school, and captain of the tennis team, and I also did mock trial, which was huge for me. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed acting, and it was actually something that I had never heard of coming into high school, but it was something I wanted to give a try because I was interested in law, but it ended up being more about like theater and acting, and mm-hmm. that was like a whole new window that I opportunity that I found. And so yeah, those were like the main things that I did throughout high school.
So I'm curious, you said mock trial, piano, tennis, do you continue these on at Stanford or you just do it for fun or
right organized? So I really enjoy doing them throughout high school, but I think by the end of high school I got a little bit like burnt out, and so going into Stanford I wanted to try new things, and I also wanted to focus more on my academics. So now I just do piano as leisure when I have time in the dorm. I really wanted to join the tennis club team at my school, but I ended up not because it was too much of a time commitment. Mm-hmm. And
Stanford tennis is pretty good, right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, yeah. And
they'll like that you said that.
Stanford athletics is very good.
Not as good as UCLA.
We've won the most director cups, I think.
Wow. Yeah, we also have the most national championships, and here we go.
You know, Richard, while you were in Asia, we learned, you know, we had a sports episode,
yeah,
and we learned that all the water polo and the gymnastics kind of national championships, they're all nice and cute, but the football ones are the ones that count.
The only ones that matter. Yeah. I've heard that argument before.
Travis educated us on that.
It's all about the rings to me. So
the numbers.
So this is Jay, and I want to say that I'm very excited to see you again. I feel like the reason why most of us counselors do this is exactly for these kinds of moments, to see that our students have traversed through all the challenges throughout the years and finally reached the point of college to see what it's all about. Yeah. I just want to be able to point something out for our listeners. I personally believe that sometimes you can sense that a student will be capable of a school. And I don't want to measure a student in the sense of like, oh, she's a top 10 student or a top 10 school student, but there's something about a student when you walk in. To me, the best way I could describe it is the energy. And just walking into this room, you have this very positive, radiant glow, a lot of optimism. For me, that's the first measure of a potential student that can make it into a school that Stanford's looking for. It makes me wonder if you see the same kind of thing now that you're at Stanford and obviously surrounded by so many prestigious students as well. Right. So my first question to you today is, what are the students like at Stanford, and how did you feel when you first came onto campus? How did you compare?
Yeah. So my favorite thing about Stanford are the people by far. Just starting off with like my roommate, she is amazing. So kind.
Shout out to her roommate,
Maddie Largy. And yeah, I didn't come in feeling like inadequate. I came in feeling like I don't really know what to expect, but I'm open to anything. And I found that the people in my dorm were very supportive. There were lots of people who we did like our P sets together, and we stay up super late working together. And I think there's a really great community at Stanford. I don't ever feel like I'm going to the best school in the country. Like I don't feel that way at all. Like when I'm at Stanford, it's just like, this is my home. And like everyone around me is just like, it's just like my friends. And like, you kind of forget that you're at Stanford, and you forget that like that it's such a prestigious school, because everything just becomes familiar and everyone around you got into. And so you don't think about like how like hard it was to get into the school. Mm-hmm. And I never feel like people are very boastful. I feel like people are very humble and accepting and kind. Yeah.
Making the most of the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that I want to, so a lot of our listeners are in the position that you were in not too long ago, right? They're starting the college application process. Uh-huh. And you got into your dream school, right? And Stanford is pretty much everyone's dream school. So what I want to know, one, is take me through the moment where you got that acceptance letter. Because I remember Jenny's enthusiasm forever. And two, yeah, if you had to give any advice for students applying to college now who are listening, I guess, what advice would you give them to help them walk through the application process?
Okay, so start early is like the best thing. And like applying early was such a great decision, because by December I was already done. But just starting early also will make the regular app season very much better. That moment when I got the acceptance letter, it took me like 10 minutes to open the email because like, it was like a login, and then I thought after the login it would open up, and then it said it had me click another button, and like clicking that login button already took me like 5 minutes. And so it was like another 5 minutes of me like waiting to click that button, and I clicked it and I just saw the congratulations and I just started screaming. And my mom was like, wait, are you screaming because like you didn't get in or you got in? And I was like, I got in. And then she started like dancing and we were like so happy. And I called my dad, and then I called Jenny. I called, like my friends. And so it was like, it was an awesome moment, probably one of the best moments that I can remember.
And if you didn't know, so I was actually in a VChat meeting here when you called Jenny, and I hear Jenny screaming on the phone, Dorothy got into Stanford through the meeting.
I did not know that.
So two things that I want to know too is, why Stanford? Mm-hmm. What made you want to go there? Why was that your dream school? And has it lived up to the hype? And if so, like how did it live up to it?
Okay.
I like that.
So Stanford was always like the dream school, because in third grade I had like a college banner project, and I was like, I'll just do like my dad's university or something. And my dad's like, no, do Stanford. And I was like, what's Stanford? And so I just did this random banner for this school named Stanford. And when I was in fifth grade, I visited Stanford with my family because I was up there for like a piano competition. And then I went again my sophomore year, and I fell in love with the school and I was like, I want to go here. I was like walking on the campus and I just felt like I could see myself here. Like, it's so beautiful. And like the students here look so happy, and it's the best option because it's in California. It's not too far away from home. And so, yeah, Stanford, it seemed like it always was like, wow, like I would love to go there. But I always felt like, I don't know if I could. Like, I always felt like it's such a hard school. Right. Like, they only have like a 4% acceptance rate. Like, the odds are like totally against my favor. And like, honestly, like throughout high school, I really wanted to go to Stanford. But in the back of my mind, I always said, like, I'm not going to expect myself to go there. Like, that is the goal, but I'm not going to already like expect that, because like I don't want to like feel like, yeah,
you're managing your own personal expectations.
Yeah. Right, for most students, it's not going to happen, right? So
right,
I feel
exactly.
Like even for those top tier students who expect to get into a really good school, Stanford is still just kind of out of reach for them too.
Yeah, and so for students like who are approaching the college application process, I'd say have an open mind about where you want to go, because honestly, I did want to go to Stanford, but I was also open to going to the East Coast or going to a UC. Like, I was like, I just want to go to where whoever wants me, right? Like, right. if you
want
me,
you know, actually, yeah. that is a really great attitude. Doesn't matter where you go, with your kind of attitude, you're gonna go far no matter where you go. I firmly believe that.
Yeah. I want to just say one thing really quickly. That moment when Dorothy, you called me to tell me that you got into Stanford, that I remember when we submitted your application together, yeah. And I said to myself, if Stanford does not accept Dorothy, I don't know what kind of student Stanford wants. Because honestly, you know, when Jay mentioned earlier that, you know, you have this aura about you that, you know, till this day, Dorothy is this student that we talk about day in and day out. You know, what does Dorothy have that, you know, other students didn't have? And when I think back on the students that applied to Stanford this year, they didn't have that. And I think Stanford got everything right when they chose you, you know. And if they didn't choose you, I would have been appalled as a counselor. Like, I wouldn't know what to do. Like, you know, how do we get someone like Dorothy into Stanford? A student not like Dorothy into Stanford. And if you didn't get in, I think that would have been a question that I would still think about to this day if you didn't get in. And so, you know, when colleges say that they know what they want and they have an idea of the perfect fit, you really are the perfect fit to schools like Stanford. And I feel like listeners, those of you who are listening to in on this, you know, kind of get a gauge, a sense of what Dorothy's personality is like. You can tell just through listening to her, what Jay mentioned earlier, her brightness, her optimism, like her ability to be, I don't know, personable in any kind of situation, you know, word. And I think that's literally what Stanford was looking for. So I would have been really confused if you didn't get it.
So while we're here, story sharing time, I have a story about Dorothy, and it was back when AM, we were still in the Walnut office. And I remember we had these hideous green carpets, right? It was the second floor. And you came in clutching your folder, holding on to this piece of paper, and it was like super early for a student at the time to approach me about essays, but obviously you came to me a little bit earlier than the rest, and you're like, I have this essay idea that I really want to talk about. I think it was like David Brooks, right?
Yes,
New York Times,
yes, yeah,
reading,
yeah.
Light.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you read it to me, and I was just completely floored. It was the first experience why a student initially comes to me with a personal statement idea, and I just am, I'm really just enamored by it. Mm-hmm. But with that story aside, I have a question to hopefully help the listeners out here, okay?
Sure.
Being that Jenny is Prego, and we're transitioning.
What's happening?
And we're transitioning into the we're quasi-adulthood, you know, mm-hmm. I still consider myself a young whippersnapper, but the question becomes.
Hey, Jenny, what am I then?
No comment. You know, from a parenting point of view, I would like to know, Dorothy, what do you think your mom and dad did for you, or something that they've done that you think was paramount to who you are today?
Okay, yeah, for sure. My parents were extremely supportive of me, especially with piano, in the sense that, like, I really wanted to play piano, and I didn't... They wanted me to spend more time with academics, but I told them, like, trust me, like, I really think, like, this time I'm dedicating to piano is important to me. And the reason I always felt like it was so important to me, because I loved it, and also it taught me a lot about patience and discipline and, like, persistence. And I think that really helped me in my college application process. And my parents were always, they, so one of the biggest moments was, it was the night before the application was due for Stanford early. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't know if I want to apply anymore. Like, I was legitimately considering just not applying. And my mom was like, no, you came all the way up to this point and you put in so much effort. Like, don't give up now. And so at that moment, like, it was because of my mom that, like, I really submitted that application, because I really felt like, I don't know if I could do it. And so I think parent support and, like, parent encouragement is, like, so crucial to the whole application process, as well as, yeah, like, I felt like it's important that your parents push you and, like, push you, like, to be outgoing and to do as, like, to do the activities that you love. But I also don't think, but I think it's important that parents don't, like, stress out the student too much, right? Like, put too much pressure about, like, making it to a certain school, or like,
take notes, parents.
I think parents,
dear God, please.
But yeah, if parents could just really be supportive of students and really reminding them of, like, who they are and, like, what they're worth, and reminding them and encouraging them and giving them positive support more than negative support, I think will go a long way in giving a lot of self-esteem to students, because I think a lot of times students feel like, I'm not good enough, or, like, I don't think I can do it. But if parents were, like, being supportive, it'd be really good.
I love that so much, Dorothy, because I think part of really 90% of the reason why you're so positive and bright and optimistic is because of the encouragement that your parents gave you. And I think a lot of parents have it the opposite way, that they feel like if they were to lower their students or their children, or, you know, if they're like, oh, you are not this great, or, you know, kind of lowering their their self-esteem, their hopes are that they would kind of bounce back from that and receive that challenge. But it's actually quite the opposite, especially because students are very vulnerable during that time period.
I was thinking that'd be a simple answer, like some sort of superfood secret that your mom would feed you.
Bananas like in that. The morning.
Bananas in the morning, fish oil supplements, no?
Okay. And so obviously your parents did an awesome job with you and helping you out. But one of my, I think one of the best things that you learn as a student in college, and I'm sure that Stanford has great classes and you're learning a ton of those, but I think one of the best learning devices in college is living on your own. Right. Yeah. You're out of your parents' house. And I remember the first thing that I did, I'd never bought dish soap before. So I put the hand soap in the dishwasher. I came home and my living room was just foam, just bubbles. So I learned,
Travis, I learned
what soap to buy. But, like, I guess, how
you
was
didn't
it?
Didn't do your dishes in high school.
The dishes Someone were soapy and bubbly.
That is a young whippersnapper move.
Yes, it was. But what I'm wondering is, how was it in your first year away from home? And how was it just kind of having a relatively sort of unscheduled schedule, right? You have a lot of free time in college and you don't have parents to make sure that you're doing all the right things. So how was it for you being up in Palo Alto?
Yeah, I think that was something I had to learn throughout the whole year of, like, managing my time, right? I think it was, like, at the end of this third quarter that I realized, like, man, like, I need to, like, prioritize even more than I thought, because I thought I was studying so much, but then I looked back and I realized that I was so busy, like, going to classes and, like, that in between, like, biking and then, like, sitting down and then talking to my roommate for a little bit and then, like, going to work and then eating and then coming back and then you're, like, tired and then you take a nap and then you just study for a little bit and, like, you're just trying to finish that piece set. And then I realized, like, man, like, I didn't spend enough time just sitting down and, like, studying and reviewing the material. And so that was, like, definitely something that I learned this year that I want to do more next year and, like, being a better student. What else did you want to answer?
Well, two, just like, as a kid, you know, at Stanford, I'm sure that you're able to explore so many different avenues and clubs and whatnot. So what, non-academically,
yeah,
I guess, how did you explore various interests and just get a new dose of life, really?
Yeah. I actually was very lucky. I didn't have as much trouble finding like a really solid group of friends because I found a great Christian community. And there were so many people there who like genuinely cared about me, and like we became really great friends. And so I had a really great support group throughout the whole year. And honestly, like my mom would complain, like, you don't call me enough, like, you should be calling me more. And then I was like, I'm sorry, like, I'm so busy, and I'm, like, having, like, such a good time. And, like, yeah it's, like, of course I miss my parents, but also, like, when you're at Stanford, you're like, yeah, I'm just so happy, and, like, I am pretty busy throughout the week.
So I have a quick question. What do you know now as of completing your first year, freshman year at Stanford, that you didn't know when you were in a high schooler, like as a new college student? Yeah. I wouldn't even call it a Stanford student, but just as a college student.
About life, about anything.
Well,
for like those seniors or juniors in high school right now that are kind of up and coming, you know, a lot of fears, anxieties, excitement, you know, but is there anything, any pearls of wisdom or something that you can give that you learned this first year?
Well, I came into Stanford thinking I was a very open-minded person. And then I took, because I was like, yeah, I'm an open-minded person. I'm open to a lot of things. But I came in thinking I'm going to do IR. Like, I'm so sure about that because that's what I'm passionate about. And then, so I took a few IR classes my first two quarters, and I realized, wow, like, I like history and I am enjoying these like international security classes and whatnot, but I didn't feel like I was being challenged in the way I wanted to be. And because I would go into class, I would listen to the professor and then I would leave. And then we would have just like two or three essays throughout the quarter. And that's all I would get out of the class. And I didn't feel like I really was learning a lot. And so
IR major.
This is great.
My roommate is an ME major, mechanical engineering major, and one of my really close friends is also a computer science major. And they're like, well, would you ever consider STEM? And I was like, no, like, I'm not a STEM person. Like, I can't do math. I can't do science. Like, that was not my thing in high school. Like,
speaking to my soul right now.
And so I was like, but then, I don't know, like, I just couldn't let that go. Like, I couldn't let go of that question. I was like, what if, like, I enjoyed it? Like, what if, like, I could be good at that? Like, you know, and so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go 180 spring quarter. I'm going to take all STEM classes. And so I took intro to bioengineering. I took CS106A, which is like learning JavaScript. And then I took what else did I take? I took a writing class called Humans and Machines, which was like STEM based writing, like technology. And then my fourth class, I'm forgetting, math. Yes, math. The one class that I said, I'm never taking a math class at Stanford, and I took math. And I went in with an optimistic mindset, because I was like, you know what? Like, what if I really enjoy this? And I feel like if I work hard, I could be good at this. And so I went in, and it was challenging, but I really felt like I learned a lot from this past quarter. Like, I learned so much, and I was always like working and doing my homework and getting assignments done. And at the end of the day, I really felt like, wow, like this is what it feels like to be a hardworking student, which was something that I didn't feel like I had the first two quarters doing IR. And so now I'm considering doing biomechanical engineering, because it was actually from this writing class. I had to do a big research paper. And so I was like, I don't know what to write about. Like, I don't really know much about technology or anything interesting. And then I found out there's this thing called neural prosthetics. And then I found out about visual processes. And then I found about retinal processes, which is a biotechnology that is specifically for a disease called retinitis pigmentosa, which my mom has. And so I did extensive research on this, and I discovered, wow, like there's this whole area of industry, like medical device industry, like prosthetics, and I was really fascinated by like the combination of biology, technology, and engineering, and like what that could do, and like how many lives that like that could change. Because I had never thought like engineering. I thought like, oh, you just like build stuff. Like I never touched engineering, so I didn't understand why people were so interested in it. But now I was like, whoa, this is so cool. And I definitely think Stanford is more STEM based. I'm not going to lie. Like, there is of course, there's so many humanities students too, but I think Stanford is known for being, for excelling at STEM and like mm-hmm. being, because being in Silicon Valley and yeah. so much. And so, yeah, now I feel like I'm really being drawn into the STEM area.
I want to take your mindset and clone it and give it to every student in America.
Literally just saying right now that this is what a curious student looks like, right?
It's
like when someone loves learning, this is what it seems like, right? Because how many students out there are like in college and they're like, I got to find the easy way out. I need to find the easiest major.
I need three
essays a quarter. Sign me up, you know?
Yeah.
But the Dorothy is saying right now, like, I genuinely didn't feel like I was gaining, that I was being challenged in the way that I could be challenged. And more so than that, like, she wants to be able to use her intellectual curiosities to help people. And that's why you did IR in the first place, Dorothy,
right.
because you wanted to help people and you felt like through international relations, through law, you were able to help those, you know, refugees, the refugee crisis or things like that. And now you found another way in which you can help people. And this time it really is pushing in terms of your intellectual capabilities. And yeah. I think that's what you want, you know, and that's what you need.
Yeah, so I don't think Dorothy would take Jay's favorite course, Dinosaur for Dummies. It's not up her alley.
I'm thinking, so just for the listeners, the procedural side, I get a lot of questions and doubts about major changing. How prevalent is it at Stanford? How easy it or hard is it to do?
So I think that's one of the best things about Stanford is that you go in as undeclared mm-hmm. and then you kind of explore or you choose not to explore. But for me, I chose to explore and you're not expected to declare a major until the end of your sophomore year.
Okay.
And so you have a lot of time, but you should start thinking about like what you want to major in by the end of your first year.
Mm-hmm. And the counselors are there to kind of guide you through that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not difficult to, and I think a lot
you can choose any major you want and there's no one that's going to tell you, no, you can't major in that.
Yeah. Mm. And I think that's what's great about not just Stanford, but other Ivy Leagues. Like I know for UPenn, they do the same thing. As soon as you get accepted, the counselor asks you, what do you want to do?
Yeah, it's kind of cool that you're able to go into an engineering discipline.
Yeah.
Which a lot of schools have an engineering kind of
department.
You have to apply to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that easy at some colleges. It's good to hear that Stanford makes it easy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm certainly sad. I think the journalism field is missing missing you.
Well, honestly, I'm taking a journalism media internship this summer because that's something that I really enjoyed and loved in high school, and I haven't been able to do that this past year. So I decided to do something abroad. So I'm going to Korea for 2.5 months to work at a startup, media startup. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And I think if in the future, like, who knows what can happen? Like, I'm planning on majoring in engineering, but, you know, like, I could go back to journalism or, like, somehow, like,
combine.
Yeah,
you can find
cross
a bridge.
Paths,
I think there's synergy there because you mentioned earlier, Dorothy, that you didn't know this whole world existed, medical devices and how else. And because people don't know it, there may be an opportunity.
People
to
need
to
write
to
about
the
it.
Math.
When coming back to application specifics, mm-hmm. I have a question about interviews. Did you do an interview for Stanford?
No, California students don't do.
Except starting this year, Stanford is changing their policies. Yeah, so in the previous years, California students were the only state students that did not get an interview from Stanford. But Stanford this year, either they've already changed their policy or they're thinking about changing their policy and allowing California students to do interviews.
So then, aside from the interview, because you were void for that, what about in terms of the essays? I'm not sure if you still remember the prompts.
Uh-huh,
there's letter to your roommate, intellectual vitality, what matters to you and why.
Uh-huh.
Any kind of tips or any kind of thoughts or stories behind that for us to share?
Well, I remember I had a hard time working with the shorter essays, like what newspapers, magazines, or website. Actually, not that
category.
One. The hardest one I thought were like, what is the most significant challenge that society faces today? Because it's like a 50-word limit, and I was like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna like address this in 50 words?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say the small ones are really important for like developing like your personality and showing like who you are, right? And like the smaller things, and then like the bigger essays are like more substantial and sharing like what's really important to you. So I think for the intellectual vitality one, I wrote about broadcasting and like also how that tied in with piano and how these two disciplines were like so important to me, and somehow I tied it together. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wrote about how this my passion for broadcasting and my passion for piano started when I was really young through like a broadcast, like a TV show contest that I won. And so that was like the start of it. And I kind of created like a story as to how like these two like passions of mine like started from a really young age at like, yeah.
You won a TV show contest? What age were you? What grade were you when you won that?
I was in fourth grade when I won that.
That's
yeah.
the secret to get
win a TV show contest if you want to get into Stanford.
And write an essay about it.
While we're on the application process, so you mentioned that the day before you applied to Stanford, you almost got cold feet.
Yeah.
So I guess, what were your other schools? Because everybody, you know, Stanford can't be the only school that you apply to, right? Because you mentioned the 4% acceptance rate. So what were your other schools? And I guess take us through the process of which ones you would have gone for and why.
So my second choice was Yale, and I was also considering applying early to Yale, but at the end I was like, nah, Stanford is like is the real deal.
Shot down.
So I was considering Yale. I don't know, honestly, if there were any other California schools I was seriously considering, because
UCLA?
Actually didn't apply to UCLA, but
dagger
shot down.
But it was mostly like the Ivies plus like UCs. Yeah.
What were your most important factors when considering a college? Because I remember you said you walked on the campus at Stanford and you were like, this is home. And I had that same thing with the University of Maryland. I walked on campus and I didn't apply anywhere else but West Virginia. I had one safety school in Maryland because I knew that's where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
So what were your biggest factors in choosing your dream school or the schools you wanted to apply to?
The biggest factors were definitely like, honestly, like their ranking, just like for like how
to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
You make the parents proud.
Yeah, but the ranking is a very good indicator of like just like how well the academics are there and like
the rankings like don't come out of nowhere.
Yeah,
there's a reason why they're ranked so consistently high.
Yeah. And also location, so that's why I chose Stanford over others, because I wanted to stay in California, as well as financial aid, and Stanford has really great financial aid.
When you're sitting in class at Stanford, I'm really curious about this. So you know that you are in the top of the top of the top of the high school students, right? And I'm sure that you have classes with sophomores and juniors every now and then. So do you like look around and you're like, who's going to win the next Nobel Peace Prize among my classmates?
No, absolutely not. Like that thought never actually passes my mind, honestly. Like I find out like the weirdest things about like people in my dorm, and I'm like, what, you did that? And it's like you would never suspect it. Like honestly, the kids around me just seem just like like not that different from like, it's not like I'm surrounded by like nerds, like socially awkward people or anything. Like seriously, like everyone around me is like so like personable and like
if you had to pick a word or a quality that describes the majority of the Stanford students that you've met, what would you say would that word be?
That was good.
You stumped her. First one.
Dang.
Because I know that one of the questions that Stanford asks on the essay is, what are five qualities that describe you, or five words that describe you?
I'd say driven. Like the students around me are very driven.
Mm-hmm.
And like they all have big goals, and they're very optimistic about it too.
I always wondered, you know how Stanford asked that five words that describe you? Mm-hmm. I was wondering.
Let me tell you what Dorothy wrote. Dorothy wrote.
And don't copy these. For all of your answers.
And do not copy these. She wrote altruistic, open-minded, spirited, driven, and imaginative.
Now tell us what the real five words are.
Suddenly they say a huge influx of driven as their
answer. Driven. I am very driven. That's very good.
And I know that you mentioned driven, so obviously everyone is sort of goal-oriented in a way.
Yeah.
And college has a way of changing our goals. I mean, you've already changed your major, right?
Yeah.
You've gone from humanities to STEM, I mean, a polar opposite shift. So how have your goals changed as a student and as a person just in 1 year of college?
I think my goals have become more specific over the year. So I learned that there's a co-term program at Stanford where you can get your master's in 1 year. And so that is now like my new goal that I'm setting for myself for the next four years. Is it
right after you're finished with your bachelor's, you get your
master's? Plus 1 more year. Yeah. Okay. So you start taking master's classes your senior year if you get into the program.
Oh, wow.
And so you apply towards like the end of your junior year. So right now that is like my like short-term like academic goal.
You found that out your first year in Stanford, right?
About the co-term?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know about that before?
No, I did not know about that before.
I just wanted to touch upon that because all these colleges out there, not just Stanford, but they have all these unique programs that you just discover once you're in on campus. And you kind of find out, wow, I can just take an extra year and do this, or I can go in this endeavor, and it kind of changes and it evolves over time.
And is a co-term for any of the master's degrees that you can get at Stanford, or is there specific?
There's masters? It only has it for like a select number of bachelor degrees, but the one I want to do is either bioengineering or mechanical engineering.
Okay. Wow. I'm just soaking in the aura and the presence of all of this. I'm so excited.
If the listeners can't tell, we kind of like Dorothy.
She's also our first guest, so, you know, it's really awesome to have you back on here. So let's go ahead and wrap up, Dorothy. You just gave us so much information and insider knowledge about Stanford. If you can give maybe a couple of advice or tips or things to our listeners.
Students and then for parents.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Anything that you can give to them. Let's do tips for applications and essays. Mm-hmm. Let's do tips for like choosing your best fit college and then just like life tips.
Yeah, sure.
That freshman finished life advice.
So the biggest thing I think is being positive throughout the process, because I firmly believed like I would end up at the place that I meant to be, and like I firmly believed that, and I didn't go in expecting I'd get into Stanford. And I'd say for every student applying to colleges, like just have confidence in yourself and know that like no matter which school you'll go to, like it's not the school that'll make you, it's you make the school, right? Mm-hmm. And like you'll the people you'll meet at the future schools and like the friends you'll make and the community, like you should be looking forward to college and see the bigger picture, you know, like not just like so narrow, like focused on like, oh, I have to get into this school, like seeing the bigger picture of like, you know what, like if I work my hardest, like I'm going to go to a great school, and like no matter where that is, and like it's going to be great, like I'm going to have like wonderful experiences in college. For parents, I'd say like as I said earlier, like encouraging your students and like being proud of them, like and always just reminding them like it's about putting your best effort and making sure that like you really do give it your all.
For those students who will be matriculating this fall, do you have any advice as to like what they should be doing once they get into college?
First year of college, if you could redo it again, what would you redo?
Honestly, I'd say just chill for the summer. That's what I did last summer, and like just start fresh, and like I'd say like you don't need to really study before going into college, like like
just forget everything you learned in high school. You'll start fresh in college.
You'll go in and like if anything, like just take the placement tests for like math or chemistry or whatever if you're a STEM student.
Okay.
And once they're on the campus, do you feel like there's any advice that you would want to give to those students?
I'd say be open to making friends. Don't be shy. Everyone around you is going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So like, even if you feel like you're the only shy one, honestly, like everyone is. And like, so yeah.
And evidently be open to STEM.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So thank you so much again, Dorothy, for being on our podcast today. We really appreciate your time. I think this gave not just our listeners a lot of knowledge, but like us too. And your experience, and it just
motivation
seems
too.
I love that, Dorothy, you have not changed, you know, in that way, that your personality, the things I remember most about you, is still so much a part of who you are. And I think the only thing that you're growing is more the intellectual maybe side and that, but for the most part, like, your heart is still you are still who you are, and that makes me really, really happy. So anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to season 2, episode 8. Next week, we'll go ahead and get into motivating yourself and motivational strategies. Dorothy just was our special guest this week, so I hopefully
we might have to have her on as a motivational speaker. Yeah.
Actually, she'll be here every single day. No, but that would be awesome. And you guys can tune in next week for motivating yourself and motivational strategies. And yeah, we'll talk to you all soon. See you later.
See ya.